satyam vidatam nijabritya bashitam vyaptim ca bhuteshu killeshu chatmanah adashatadyad bhuta rupamudvaham stambe sabayamna mrigamna manusham. Void meaning, we're only doing one person chants, satyam, true, vidatam, to prove, nija britya bashitam, the words of his own servant, Prahlad Maharaj, vyaptin, the pervasion, cha, and bhuteshu, among the living entities and elements, akileshu, all, cha, also, atmanaha, of himself, adarshyata, was seen, ati, very, adbhuta, wonderful, rupam, form, udvaham, taking, stambe, in the pillar, sabayam, within the assembly, now, not, mrigam, an animal, now, not, manusham, a human being. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere. Even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality called Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. You want to repeat after me this shloka? To prove that the statement of his servant, Prahlad Maharaj, was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere. Even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. The Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. So this verse describes the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev, whose appearance day we are celebrating today. Covered by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. When Hiranyakāshipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, yes, my Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranyakāshipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kauntiya pratijanahi nirme bhakta pranashati. Prahlad Maharaj's demonic father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encourages devotees, saying in effect, don't worry, I am present here. By manifesting his form in the Singhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any man or any lion, animal. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. ॐ ज्ञातिमनन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलक्या चक्षुरन्मिलितान् येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोवेश साभिधाम् येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयम् ददाति स्वाम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां सगाजतम् सहगनालघुनातन्वितं तं सजीवम् सद्वैतं सवधूतम् श्रीराधा कृष्णापदान् सहगना विशाखान्वितं च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्ता कञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसूतिदेवी प्रणमामि वञ्च कल्पातरभ्यश्च सिंहासिन्धुभ्येव च पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः वञ्चाकल्पातरभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचरि गौरभक्त हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण So as I told you earlier, there are two speakers today for the English class. Myself, who will be followed by Jnanivas Prabhu. Jnanivas, did I see him coming in? Is he here, Jnanivas? Okay, okay. So, and the yajna is supposed to start at 10 o'clock? Okay, okay. Satyam vidatham nijabhritya vashitam व्याप्तेंच भूतेषु अखिलेषु चात्मनः अदर्श्यतात् यद्भूतरूपम् उद्वहन् स्तम्भे सभ्यं न मृगं न मनुष्यम् सो दिस् वर्स् हेव् यू रेड् डिस्क्राइब्स् द अपीयरेंस् ऑफ द लॉर्ड एज नरसिंहदेव एंड टुडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग नरसिंहदेव्स अपीयरेंस डे इन श्रीधाम मायापुर सो दिस स्टोरी of Nrsingadeva's appearance and Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu is almost known to every devotee in ISKCON, junior or senior. Describes the appearance of Nrsingadeva and the circumstances that led to his appearance. So in this verse that we just read, it is being explained to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was true. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present everywhere. Even the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Lord exhibited a very wonderful form that had never been seen. You should be closer. It's better now. So, this form which the Lord exhibited was the form of a half man, half lion. In this chapter entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, we read about the Lord appearing and killing this very powerful demon called Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary demon. If we were to ask, is Hiranyakashipu a devotee or a demon? Most devotees would probably say, demon! Powerful demon! But in his heart of hearts, he was a great devotee of the Lord. And this was a situation created by the will of the Lord in order to make his pastimes more relishable on this planet. Just like we see Parikshit Maharaj got cursed by the Brahmin Sringi. Parikshit could easily have counteracted that curse. After all, he was saved when he was in the womb of his mother by Yasotama's Brahmastra. But the Lord wanted that situation so that the Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken for our benefit. So the sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, why are they called the Kumaras? They called the Kumaras because they had the mystic power by which they could control their body from growing. They were requested at one time by their father to enter into the Grihastha ashram to expand population. Not desiring to enter into the Grihastha ashram, they decided to control the growth of their body, because a child at the age of 5 doesn't really have the sex urge, and as the body grows older, the sex urge also develops. So the Kumaras, the oldest of the children of Lord Brahma, were traveling in outer space, and they entered the, it's a long story, we're just going to summarize it because we have limited time, and they entered the Vaikuntha planets, described in the Bhagavatam as Vaikunthapuri planets, and they were able to go through the first 6 gates, but on the 7th gate they were stopped by the 2 doorkeepers. When you go to see a big personality, you normally have to pass through a lot of gates. I don't know how many of you have been to see the President of India in Delhi at the Rashtrapati Bhavan, but before you finally reach the President's room, I've been several times, you have to pass through at least 6 or 7 gates or enter the big halls before you finally get in there. So they went to the 6 gates, but at the 7th gate they were stopped by the 2 very handsome doorkeepers. And the Bhagavatam describes how the kingdom of God, how everything there is so beautifully decorated, how all the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets, they all have their own airplanes made of gold and silver, emeralds, diamonds, and these planes never crash. There's no pilot error. And everyone pilots their own planes. So the 2 doorkeepers stopped them from proceeding, and they had some valid reasons. They were, after all, naked children. But on the other hand, the Kumaras were experiencing such great happiness and ecstasy being in the spiritual world, that when they were stopped, they felt insulted, shocked, disappointed, and in anger, they said that you two are unqualified to really be here in the kingdom of God. And there took place a dialogue between the two. And what Jayabaja had committed, on the one hand, it was an offense stopping them, but on the other hand, they had also done this as a duty. But actually, the Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, had on one occasion wanted to come and see the Lord, but she was also stopped because the Lord was taking rest by the Jayabaja. And she had predicted that a situation will develop in future where you'll have to leave their service. So the Kumaras were angry at Jayabaja for having been stopped, and the Jayabaja, being fully surrendered to the Lord, willingly said, if you want to punish us, please punish us, but give us a punishment in which our minds and words will constantly be dedicated to whom? To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was their only stipulation, that they be placed in a situation where they can always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Jayavijay subsequently took birth to Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Danta, Kumbhakarna, and Shishupala and Dantavakra. Now, in these roles, they played extraordinarily powerful roles, because the Lord was also planning on appearing on the planet, and he wanted his own devotee to play the role of demon. In fact, this is explained that when the Kumaras heard the wonderful exchange between the Lord and his devotees, because when that dialogue was going on between Jayavijaya and the Kumaras, the Lord overheard this. And it came out. And he spoke with such affection to his doorkeepers that the Kumaras felt that they had made a mistake in using harsh language on the doorkeepers. But the Lord said, and they wanted to withdraw their curse. But the Lord said, no, let the curse remain. It's my desire. And the Bhagavatam explains, since the Lord was getting ready to appear on the planet, he wanted his own devotee to play the role of a demon to make his pastimes on the planet more nourishing. So, Dao Hiranyakashipu played the role of a demon, but he was in his heart of hearts a devotee and constantly absorbed in thinking of the Lord. Of course, our approach is not Hiranyakashipu's approach, where he took a position where he was unfavorably disposed to the Lord. Our approach is approach a more favorable devotional service. So, Hiranyakashipu appeared along with his brother Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was the younger brother, and Hiranyaksha, as you know, was killed by the Lord in which incarnation? Voila. He was trying to... he was killed by the Lord in his Vara incarnation. That represents the incarnation of the Lord as a boar. So after Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyaksha's wife and mother, Deity, and children were severely lamenting at the loss of their son, husband, and father. The children were lamenting the death of the father, Mother Deity was lamenting the death of her son, and his wife was lamenting the death of her husband. So Hiranyakashipu went over there, and he spoke such wonderful philosophy that you'll be amazed. Hiranyakashipu went and gave them so many examples to show we all come together by the will of Providence, and then again we get separated. He gave the example, like in a restaurant, many people come together, they sit down and eat for some time, and then after they finish, they all go their own way. So Hiranyakashipu was explaining that we all come together by a certain arrangement, and then again we get separated. So what is there to lament? Why are you lamenting at the loss of your husband, son, and father? And then Hiranyakashipu went on to give an example. He said, once upon a time in history, there was a king whose name was King Shivojana. And this king died in a battle. He died in a battle. These days, when there's a war, the head of state never takes part in the war, does he? He may fly to the war location incognito or under heavy secrecy, but he never has the guts of going right to the front and facing the bullet, does he? But in the Vedic days, the kings would be right in the front facing the enemy. So this king was killed by the enemy, and his soldiers, his followers, and later on when the body was brought to the house, their wives, they held on to the body and they didn't want the body to be taken for funeral. The normal procedure is, or etiquette is, or the guideline is, that the body, if you die in the daytime, in the morning, before sunset, the body should be cremated, and if you die in the evening, then before sunrise. But the wives of the king were holding on to the body, crying, thinking that the loud cries are going to bring the dead man alive. So Hiranyakashipu was preaching to his sister-in-law and the mother and nephews. And then he gave this story. And then he explains that Yamraj, he heard the cries of the king's wives. So Yamraj disguised himself as a young boy. Young children, as you know, virtually can walk in anywhere. So Yamraj walked into the assembly and said, as a young boy, and said, "Hey, look at these foolish ladies. They are crying so loudly, thinking that by their loud cries, their dead husband will be brought back to life. But that's not going to happen." And then Yamraj gave another story in the Bhagavatam. You see, there's stories, but these are all real stories. These are not imaginations of fiction written by fiction writers. And then he revealed that there was once a Kulinga bird, and there was a hunter. He used to throw food to the birds, and when the birds would come to eat the food, he would shoot them. Just like when people go fishing, they try and attract the fish to come and eat food. So this hunter had trapped the she Kulinga bird. She had gone towards to eat the foodstuff that the hunter threw, and she was shot. So the husband, seeing the wife right in front of him shot, began to lament and thinking, "How well, who will bring up my children?" And lamenting, the hunter also fell a prey to the hunter. The male Kulinga bird also fell a victim to the hunter. So Yamraj gave this story to show that you may be crying very loudly, thinking that your dead husband is going to come back to life, but your own lives are going away, and you yourself are going to be a victim of death.